Thank you, Trace. Okay, so we're in Matthew 28. Actually, today's going to be our last day in Matthew. So we're going to finish the book today. We've been looking at the Great Commission, verses 18 to 20, and we've spent several weeks looking at the Great Commission at different pieces of it, different parts of what it's saying. Let me begin by asking you this question. If I were to ask people, what is the thing you need most? What would people say? Different people say different things, right? Okay.
Just like general.
Yeah, just in general. What would be some kinds of things people would say? What do you need most? What would they be saying?
Happiness.
Peace.
Food.
I'm a logical person. Food.
Okay.
Food. Water is also very useful.
Food, water. Okay. What's that?
Peace.
Okay.
Salvation.
What's that?
Salvation.
Okay, good. Any others that you might come to mind? There are things on different levels, right? You've got food, water, shelter. That deals with physical needs that we all have, and you know, we got them.
I think people don't want to be alone.
They don't want to be alone. They might talk about my husband, my wife, my kids. That's what I need most. And so we're talking at a different level than food, different kind of thing, right? You know, some might say money, yeah. A new job. Yeah. I need some recognition, man. Stuff like this, those are different kinds of things. And you've mentioned salvation, peace, things like that that are getting
joy.
At joy, happiness. Okay. I would be willing to say that the answer, if you would ask that question to most people, the answer most people would give would completely miss the reality. If it is true that Jesus is risen from the dead. If Jesus is risen from the dead, that changes and affects the thing that people need most. And I think most people, in answering that question, really would get it wrong. And so you and I, we were made for God, and it's not just you and I. Everybody,
yeah.
All nations, you know, just like these verses, all nations, we're made for God. And we were made for God more than we were made for food. And we were made for God more than we were made to have money or shelter. And we were made for God more than for anything else. It's why we exist. We exist for Him. We don't exist just to eat or drink. And so here's the deal. The resurrection of Jesus brings us God, which is the thing we were made for. Now we're in Matthew 28, and it is post-resurrection. And I'm going to read verses 18 through 20. We've been reading these for a bunch of weeks now. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, if you look at those verses, you should see some commands, and you should see some statements of fact. Not everything said here is the same kind of thing. And so, you tell me, what are the commands?
Go.
Make disciples.
Baptize.
Baptize.
Teach them
to observe. Okay? And what are the statements of fact?
All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me.
Okay. Jesus says all authority. He says he has all authority in heaven and on earth. That's not a command. That's a fact. What else is a fact?
I'm with you always.
Behold, I'm with you always. Even that's not a command. That's a fact. So we got two facts. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he is with you always. And then we have some commands. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. So we sort of have the commands are sandwiched in between two facts that Jesus gives us. And so verse 18, all authority, that's a fact. Therefore, based on that fact, go make disciples and baptize and teach. In verse 20, as you're doing that, remember, he's with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, we have already talked about all authority in heaven and on earth. We've dealt with that issue. Jesus has the same authority as his Father. And the world needs to know this. That Jesus has. That's why the next phrase is go therefore. He's connecting the command. He's connecting making disciples with his authority. The world needs to know that. We've already talked about go make disciples of all nations. We've already talked about baptism. We've already talked about teaching them to observe. That was last week. All things. And so none of those ideas is our focus today. We focused on all of those on different teachings. Today, we're going to focus on this blessed fact. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is a promise. If you belong to Jesus, then Jesus is with you. He's with you. Paul communicates the same idea by saying that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. There's a union between us and Christ. This Pauline in Christ idea, it's all over Paul. It's not like a one-verse wonder. It's everywhere in Paul. When you read him, we're in Christ. And this in Christ means he's with us. That's what Jesus is saying here. I'm with you. And this truth, Jesus says, is always. I'm with you always, he says. And this truth is to the end of the age. In other words, what that means is what Jesus is saying to his disciples is true not just for the first century. It's to the end of the age. It means it's for you and for me. We're in the same age that they were in. And so, if you are in Christ, then Jesus is with you always. I mean, just for a moment, stop and think about that. Think about what always means. It means he's with you when you're on the job at an apartment complex, or when you're at the company, or when you're in New Mexico, or when you're in an English class, or wherever you are, there he is. He's with you. He's with you when the client lights you up in an email. Jesus is with you when that happens. It doesn't matter where you are or when you are. He's with you to the end of time. This is enormously encouraging. He's with you when you lose a baby. He's with you when you can't find work. or when your mom gets cancer. He's with you when you are in the shower. He's with you when you are asleep. He's with you when you're cooking in the kitchen. He's with you when you're talking to your friends. He's with you when you go downtown. He's with you if you go to Indonesia or Iran. He's with you if you go to your parents' home. He's with you when you are thinking about him. He's with you when you are not thinking about him. See, you don't even have to be thinking about him for him to be with you. He's with you at work. He's with you at play. He's with you when you study. He's with you when you laugh. He's with you when you cry. He's with you when you're angry. He's with you when you're grateful. He's with you always. That's what always means. And nothing, nothing can ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing can take you away from Jesus. Not sickness or persecution or war or failure or success. Sometimes that's a bigger enemy to the Christian faith than failure is. Nothing can separate us from him. Nothing. His presence is to the end of the age. And so, whatever difficulty you happen to be going through, Jesus is with you. And he understands. You know how we think, no, nobody gets it. Nobody understands my situation because it's so hard. They don't. Guys, Jesus has been through something you will not understand. If you want to talk about who does not understand, I think it's you and me who don't really understand the depths of the pain and of what he went through in bearing the sins of the entire world. We're the ones that don't understand. He understands. And he's with you. If you need a friend to talk to, he's there. You can talk to him. If you need a shoulder to cry on, he's there. You can cry on his shoulder and he will understand. The presence of Jesus is the greatest thing you could ever hope for. The presence of Jesus is the thing that people need the most. See, in Jesus, we have Emmanuel, which is God with us. That's what he's just saying right here, right? I'm with you, always. In Jesus, you have what you were made for. And the event that makes the presence of Jesus possible in our lives is the resurrection. Jesus has gone through death, and he isn't going to die anymore. Death cannot take Jesus from you. I mean, if you think about it, that's pretty serious. That's a pretty serious with you always, where death can't even separate you. Because he is never going to die. And you and I, when we do die, we're ushered into his presence in a fuller way than we are now. When we die, we're going to see him more clearly than we see him now. And so he's with you always, even to the end of the age. Praise the Lord. This is great. Just praise the Lord. Now, this statement in verse 20, I'm with you always, has a context. And the context here in Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. And it makes his presence encouraging and even essential for a different reason than what I've been talking about. So Jesus says, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's the context. That command we talked about, those are commands. Those commands are hard. He says go. Go is hard. Go is not, we talked about this when we were talking about go, but go is not sit around in your house and soak in the news or the entertainment that you want to watch on TV, you know, Netflix or whatever. That's not go. Go is not isolate yourself and play it safe. Go is risky. But that's a command. You go. And it's not easy to go. But you're commanded. The one who has all authority in heaven and on earth now says, you go. And then he says, you make disciples. And making disciples is hard. It's not easy either. In fact, I'm going to say this just flat out. Without Jesus, making disciples is beyond hard. It's impossible. You can't make a disciple without Jesus. I mean, think of what he says. Teaching them to obey. You're teaching obedience. You're not just teaching commands. You're teaching obedience to commands. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. You're teaching that. How do you teach that? I mean, you can tell people, hey, like, man, you got to observe this. You can tell them that, but you can't make them do it. It's, you know, in English we have this saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, making disciples is this way. You can show them, but you can't actually change them. The making of a disciple is always, always the work of Christ. It is never something you can do. And we have to understand that. The making of a disciple is always a miracle when it happens. You look at your family and you say, I can't do this. I can't bring them to repent and to believe and to become a disciple. I can't do it. And you know what? You're right. You can't do it. But Jesus can. And he's with you to the end of the age. It's necessary to do the command. That's why it's here. That's why he's saying this after he gives these commands. You look at the hard hearts just here in secular America, or you look at how convinced the Muslims are of their faith, and you say, I can't make them become disciples. I can't change them. And you're right. You can't change them. But Jesus can. And he's with you to the end of the age. The promise that Jesus is with you is an encouragement for the work he calls you to do. Because this really is a command. These commands are a mission. They're the work that he's calling us to do. But he's then saying, I'm going to be with you, and he's the one who has all authority. So then, go. Why? Jesus is with you, and he has all authority. Make disciples of all nations. Why? Jesus is with you, and he has all authority. Baptize them. Why? Jesus is with you, and he has all authority. Teach them to observe all things that Jesus has commanded. Why? Jesus is with you, and he has all authority. See, you have to have Jesus to even do these commands. Without him, you can't do these commands. It's actually impossible. If you don't have Jesus, you will fail to do this. Let's just be straight up. You'll fail. But here's the promise. You do have Jesus. Because that's what he just said. And you have Jesus always. And you have Jesus to the end of the age. Sometimes we just forget this, don't we? It's just sort of, we live life. And when you're living life, you're not thinking, oh, yeah, Jesus right here, yeah, me and him. We sort of forget. We get distracted. Life shouts. Jesus tends to whisper. And sometimes the whisper gets drowned out in the shouts. You know, our daily worries are right here. They're like 1 inch from our face, right in front of us, and we see them. And we're just looking at those daily worries. And, you know, we focus on the big meeting we have at 1 o'clock. Or we focus on what our kids are doing. Or we focus on what that guy at the party thinks of us. Or on the pain in our knee or our neck. Or this is the kind of stuff we focus on. This is when we're thinking, this is what we're thinking about. And earlier I said Jesus is with us always, even when we're not thinking about him. Which means he's with us in all of that stuff that we're thinking about. Well, we're thinking about not Jesus. Jesus is with us. But we focus on the other stuff. And so when you focus on not Jesus, you kind of miss Jesus. Because you're not focusing on Jesus, you're focusing on not Jesus. You're focusing on something else. And so we forget it. It's natural. You've done it, I've done it, we've all done it 1,000 times, probably 1,000 times a day. Where we're focused on not Jesus. When we do that, we often miss the presence of God. We have the presence of God. That's actually a promise. It's not something that's, well, maybe I'll be with you if you, you know, act up. That's not what he says. He just flat out lays out this promise, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. And so we have it, but we miss it because we're thinking about, well, what's going to happen tomorrow? We went to San Antonio this past weekend, and we went for my family. My brother was in town. My brother lives in Germany. And so he was in San Antonio just to kind of see my mom, because I've told you my mom's got cancer. And so he was in town for a conference, and he was in the States for a conference, and said, well, while I'm on the same continent, I think I'll use that time to go visit my family in San Antonio. So he was down there. And we were going here, going there, doing all kinds of stuff with family down in San Antonio Friday, Saturday. And we had people around all the time, just doing stuff with people. But yesterday morning, I went for a walk. I just got out of the house and took off, just went walking in the my sister's. We were staying with my sister in her neighborhood. No people. Leanne said, you should take your phone. I said, no, I don't want my phone. The purpose of this is to not have my phone. No phone, no people, just me and the sky and God, and I got to sort of get away from all of that that was going on, you know. It was all good stuff going on, but nonetheless, it's distracting from God sometimes. Get away. I just went walking. Just got to talk to God. And of course, I'd been working on this text for this message. And so it was in my mind already. And so yesterday morning, I'm walking and it allowed me to clear the air of all the busyness. And I could hear Jesus. And he was just reminding me, I'm with you. I'm with you, Mike. And it was so encouraging, just getting that walk to get away. It's Jesus is with me. He's with me. Jesus will call me to what he will call me to, and it isn't easy, but he's with me. Praise the Lord. And if you are in Christ, he's with you too. Always. Even to the end of the age. We need to see this. I want to do this. I'm going to ask you just to kind of close your eyes. I want you to forget for a moment what's going on in your world, whatever's going on at work or health-related or, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in your world, but just I want to kind of forget all of that stuff. And I just want you to listen. I'm just going to read some scripture. And so I'm just going to ask you to listen as I read some scripture. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the farthest parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall guide me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night. Even then, the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am certain that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.